Welcome to a brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia podcast, the internet's most hated mafia-themed geek podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and frontman. I know an episode from me has been a long time coming, at least a couple of weeks, but I want to come on and say a couple of things. And some of you who watched our video on this matter might see some parallels, or I should say hear some parallels, or if you're coming from this audio podcast to our YouTube channel, you will see some parallels to this this audio podcast. But I just wanted to come on and say why there is no coverage from Otacon this year from us, show-wise. And there are several reasons for that. The first and foremost major reason for that is and was the fact that earlier this week, it's Friday, July 29th, as I record this. Earlier this week, I was dismissed from my employer, my 9-to-5, the company that gives us, in essence, money to do what we need to do. And because of that, going into DC today, earlier today, would have been out of the question, period. I had misgivings about going this year, and me being dismissed from my employer, my 9-to-5, was a good call on my part. Now, instead of it being other reasons, which I'll get to in a moment, this became my main reason. And not to mention, even if I did decide to go in today, I found out a couple of things that, you know, my 9-to-5 decided to pull on me, which cemented the fact that, you know what, I am not going to kind of save money overall because I need to keep a roof over my head and my belly full and meds on my table. So, that was the main reason. The other main reason is the fact that timing. I know I could have saved up months in advance for this to make sure I had funds for this. That way I didn't have to worry about going and so forth and so on, meaning I could have got the ticket last year this time and everything else. I just don't like doing that because things have a way of disappearing on me and coming up, like always. Meaning if, like earlier this year, if I started saving up for Otacon, there were several expenses I had to pay, which still would have wiped me down and put me in the position now. And if I got the ticket 6 months ago, 8 months ago, 9 months ago, that ticket would have been lost and I would have had to buy another ticket anyhow. So that's why I do things the way I do. Some things I would plan ahead if I had the money to do so. I would have, or was in the process of getting funds together, I would have done stuff in advance. Like maybe 2 months, a month in advance or something like that. I would have booked a hotel and so forth and so on. But again, lost a job and getting paperwork together, it took a higher priority than Otacon. The other major reason is I was talking to my friend of mine and one of the people that helps me behind the scenes. I'm not going to mention names because everything I do, I bounce off of him. And he was like, "You sound like you don't want to go." I said, after what happened last year, yeah, I'm having misgivings. And he said, maybe you shouldn't go. I said, well, I don't know. I'll put in my press app. I'll put in that, see what happens. But I don't, if I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't. But after what happened last year, it doesn't seem like I'm going to get it. He said, yeah, well, besides, what have they really done for you or something like that? I'll get into that in a minute. Come about mid-May, let's say May 15th, May 17th. Now, today is July 29th, and Otakon 2022 started today. Day zero was yesterday, Thursday the 28th. Thursday the 28th, you could have went up to get pre-get your ticket and so forth and so on. But today was day one. And today would have been the day I went to pick up my ticket. And I was like thinking, yeah, my buddy's right. It's not like they haven't done anything. And I'll get into context in a bit. The main worry was what May 17th came and they announced that, hey, press applications are now live. I was like, okay, I'll put in for it. See what happens. They didn't notify me until the end of June. Like, they're going to say, yeah, we told you mid-June. Maybe be as it may, but I put in for my one of my final days off for July 17th. And because my employer at the time required at least a two-week notification that you wanted a day off. And so, therefore, that's what I did. It was roughly 2 weeks prior, a little bit more. And I got approved for that. And it turned out the same day I put in for that day off, I got notification. It was like later that night, I got notification that I got accepted. I was like, oh, that's a bunch of hooey in regards to that. I get, you know, approved the same day I put in for a day off to help other folks do what they need to do. And so I was thinking about it. I was like, you know what? I'll just do the one day instead of all three. Because overall, 4 weeks, roughly 4 weeks to save up, because I was not in gear up mode. I was trying to get up with gear up mode, wasn't feeling it. And to say, do all 3 days and try to do what I initially had planned on doing at this year's Otakon, which is, again, all 3 days and giving all of you the same level of production as we did last year. Also, come to find out, Otakon decided this year, not last year, this year they decided to do it when everybody was doing it last year. Last year, 2021, a lot of bigger cons were asking to show proof that you got the jab or a negative COOF test. This year, but Otakon didn't do that. They just had mask mandates. This year, they told everybody, we want to see your papers. We want to see the fact that you got the jab and or if you didn't get the jab, negative testing for the COOF. And they, at the time of that, they cited on the website two links. One was for the city of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., and the other one for the city, pretty much health department. And the city pretty much said, there's no mandates in effect in regards to masks or requiring folks to have the jab. The health department pretty much said, we agree with the city. There's no mandates. We have no mandates, but in regards to masks or jab, but if a venue wants masks and or a jab or proof of negative COOF testing, that you don't have the COOF, then they can do so. And that's pretty much what Otakon and the convention center, that's what the convention center chose. Now, both aspects from the city and the city's Washington, D.C.'s health department dated back to February this year, February 2022. And recently, when I checked, those links are gone. They're stating CDC protocol. Because I take it if they left up the links for the city saying no mandates, people would be pissed. People would be livid saying, wait a minute, no one's saying masks or a negative COOF testing, a negative for COOF or jab stuff is in place. Why are you doing this? They could still have said, well, the health department said we can if we want to, so that's what we're doing for your safety. I could go into the whole conspiracy theories in regards to the COOF and the jab. Do I have the jab? Yes, I do. And my concerns at the time is if I went today, the 29th, early this morning when the train first rolled out, and I had the funds to get a ticket to go and do everything. Let me just say this. I would have spent what I stated in the video when that drops or it has dropped by the time you listen to this. Let me just say this. At that time, my other concern was because of these regulations put in place by the convention center and Otakon, because Otakon has to bow down to the convention center, whether or not they want to or not. They could say, hey, everybody's getting back to normal. We don't really need everybody to wear a mask or have the jab or have negative test negative for the COOF. Let's everybody have a good time. But if the venue, the convention center, says, we require this, we want you to have this, the Otakon, folks behind Otakon have to pretty much go, yes, sir. Anything you say, sir. We'll do as you say, sir. Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay, sir. And pretty much unzip the pants of those in charge of the convention center and starting nuzzling up to their crotch. Yes, I'm saying that because I'm not expecting to be approved next year. And my thoughts were that I'm not spending... The reason why my thoughts was because last year, 2021, Baltimore Comic-Con had these policies in effect, which were kind of understandable and everything else, because I think last year a lot of the vaccination stuff was starting to get rolled out and a lot of people were taking it and so forth and so on. So I'd say I give 2021 a pass and Baltimore a pass for putting it into place. But the issue that Baltimore Comic-Con had was that people were waiting 2 hours to get into the convention center for the event, and they were spending upwards, if not more than 2 hours, waiting to show the people, either the convention center employees or Baltimore Comic-Con staff members, proof that they either got the jab or tested negative for the COOF. So, therefore, I wasn't going to wait upwards to 4 hours. 4 hours to get in. Meaning, if I got there at our nation's capital at 7 a.m. and got to the convention center, let's say, by 7:30, 8 o'clock, the earliest. And now, here's the thing. Otakon states that, yeah, everything starts at 8. Today, they started at 8 a.m. There's been many years they said, oh, we're starting at 8 p.m. In reality, nobody pretty much got let in until like 9, which means I wouldn't have gotten let in. I was thinking my thoughts, and I stated this in the video on YouTube, that my thoughts is like, you know what, if I get that 8, I'm not going to be in the first few. I'm going to be one of the folks that's wrapped around the convention center like 2 or 3 times waiting to get in. And I'm not going to get in until maybe close to noon. And I received an email from those behind the scenes, the press people of Otakon themselves, saying, hey, the meetup for the press preview of the dealer room is 10:45. Good chance. I would have missed that. Now, here's the fun part. At 11:15, it's like 10 to noon right now on Friday. It's 11, according to my clock, it's 11:50 right now. About a half an hour ago, 11:15, I received an email from the folks from that run the press from Otacon saying, you know what? All you have to do is show the people at the front of the line that from the convention center that you're oppressed, and they'll let you in. They'll move you in. They'll let you cut in, and so you could get your press credentials. 11:15. 11:15. That crap should have been done yesterday. Yesterday. No. I stand corrected. That fucking shit. That aspect to let press and those of the ilk, photographers, press, and everybody else that had credentials, that policy should have been in place. In place! Prior to applications being sent out and or improved. This should have been dealt with not day of. 2 weeks before. 2 weeks before. So if I wouldn't have known until 11:15. 11:15. Al would have walked into the press relations saying, really? I would have been livid. I would have been, this year, like I said, I would not have cared if they revoked my press pass or not. I would have walked in with the email saying, really, motherfuckers? Really? I could have known this yesterday, the day before, a week before, a month before. You tell me day of, not day of, 2 hours, 3 hours and 15 minutes after show start. I was waiting in line. And for what? Because the convention center folks are, a lot of them are a bunch of cocky motherfucking assholes. They would have seen my credentials and the receipt of me being pressed. They would have said, no, get back in fucking line. We want you to get in line. Because there have been times, I've seen it, that when we've done press previews and everything else, one or two of the folks have been nice and okay. But if it wasn't for a look from the person from Otacon, kind of giving them like, really, you want to push this? Because the folks from the convention center were about to fight the aspect saying, no, we need you to do X, Y, and Z. Yeah. So that's been the whole aspect. And another reason why I kind of lean towards what my buddy was saying in regards to Otacon is like, what have they really done for you? The thing is, he was wrong, but he was kind of right. He was wrong in regards to Otacon is a big convention. And though back in 2017, I'll give you even more context, because I know some of you who are listening to this have not listened to our past episodes in regards to Otacon and everything else. Back in 2006, I first went to Otacon while it was still in Baltimore. And I did not have a good time. Everything was mismanaged. Everybody, a lot of the folks I've met there or spoke to were fun, okay. But there were a lot of assholes. Since I'm cursing, I might as well lean into it. There were a bunch of assholes. And it was the convention center people. Meaning, I was talking to somebody that, you know, we were out of the way and all that. And we were talking and about, you know, our fandom and what we were wearing at the time. I was wearing a foamy shirt. I don't remember what he was wearing. It was probably something anime related. And security wonders, I'm just like, you two gentlemen have to move closer to the wall. You're in the way of foot traffic. Meanwhile, dead center of the aisle are two anime people, two cosplayers, pretend fighting, yet he's not saying anything about that. And there were a lot of other instances and mismanagement from Otacon in regards to other instances. Like the aspect of they put a limit on how many people, period, could be in the dealer room at one given time. And at that year, from if memory serves, when I went through Artist Alley, I was given looks like, who the fuck is this guy and why the fuck is he here? Like, I was given the side eye, like, you should not be here. Outlander, outcast, stranger, you shouldn't be here. And when 2017 hit and I put in the app, it felt like an olive branch. And when I went that year, and I even stated in that year's episode on this platform, saying, yeah, it was an olive branch. I felt welcome. It was a great day. It was fun having content for all of you. I did the whole nine yards. And we ramped up what we did at Otacon over the next couple of years. 2020 excluded. Now, the thing is, past that point, Otacon's starting to show its true colors. Last year, overall, I didn't feel welcome at all. It was apparent, me being this show being the general fandom, meaning this show represents everybody, the fans, the casual fans, and we try to show everybody the aspects of everything. Meaning, if we want to cover anime, we'll cover anime. If a lot of anime stuff is getting big, we'll cover anime. If somebody wants to come on and talk about puppetry, sewing, cars, or what have you, we'll be more than happy to have those folks on and talk about their fandom and their geek. And we'll treat them with as respect as possible. Matter of fact, if we went this year, there was a chance I would have been trying to speak with as many furries as possible to get an idea about what they do as their fandom, as furries, with as much respect as I can. But no, I received a lot of, let me put it like this, a lot of the folks I met last year that were a great bunch of people was the furry community. Outside of that, it was a little bit, I know it's kind of hard to create a lot of friends and a lot of camaraderie with an event that has close to 25 to 30,000 people showing up over the course of 3 days. But still, there was an air of me being a general geek podcaster. I was felt unwelcome. Like, why am I doing interviews? Why am I trying to get interviews from these anime super celebrities? Granted, I have a lot of respect that with the people that do voice acting. And one of the things that we planned this year before plans changed was talk to a lot of the K-pop people. Because we've interviewed musicians and bands before. But still, the air of us being the black sheep, the aspect of us not really being welcome because we are not an anime podcast. The aspect of that is, again, I want to say my proof of that is last year. Some of you folks might have heard it in our last year's podcast when we talked about it. Last year, we posted up in the Otacon fan group on Facebook that, hey, we're in the gaming area. We have a ton of dice to give out for you, if those who want it. And I posted a selfie with me holding a bag of our promotional bag that you could say. It's a Ziploc bag with our cards showing, like, hey, accept this gift from those at Long Coat Mafia Podcast with our website and email on the back. And the bag also had a set of tabletop gaming dice. And because of that, within about a half an hour, Otacon, instead of one of their main people coming down to see me, they sent a fucking minion. A fucking minion. Nothing against her, but they sent a fucking minion to come down and talk to me that it's because of convention center, because convention center has the policy of no solicitation. Therefore, those at Otakon have the policy of no solicitation. Come to find out, I was pretty much the one that was selected. Because anybody on Facebook saying, hey, I'm giving out squishy thingies, maybe some sort of small plush thing, or if I'm giving out candy, if you answer trivia questions, see me, I'll have a sign. Wouldn't that be considered solicitation, yes or no? If you're listening to this, and please head on over to our Facebook page and leave a comment on the pinned post that's there, letting us know what you think. If someone says, hey, I'm going to be walking around, come find me and answer a few questions, that's pretty much solicitation right then and there. And some might say, well, the dealers might have business cards. Now, the thing is, the excuse they gave me, Otakon gave me, was I was requiring, with the business card, requiring people who took the dice to listen to the show. No, no, no. If you believe that shit, you are gaslighting people. If you take a business card or a flyer, you're requiring people to do X, Y, and Z. With that fucking logic, if you pick up a business card off a dealer, you are required to buy something from them at some point. If they have a Kickstarter campaign, you are required to fund their Kickstarter. If you pick up a flyer from one of the conventions promoting their convention at Otakon, you are required to go. You are required to pay for whatever travel fee expenses, hotel costs, and the whatnot to go to that convention. That convention is in Chicago. You live in Maine. You have to pay for that. You are required to go because you picked up a flyer. You agreed that you're going to go. Now, if anybody who took my promotional stuff, I'll use the Library Comic-Con because that's the most recent, and a lot of people took those promotional stuff. None of those people were required to listen to the show. It was an offer that they can decline. It was something that if they wanted to, they could say, yes, I'm offering consent, saying, hey, would you like one of these? Is it okay to give you one for you to take one? Yes. Okay. And they could say, is the requirement to take one listening to your show? No, no. They could have asked that question in regards to picking up the dice, the bag of dice. And I would have told them, if they asked it, am I required? No, you can do what you want. Which means, once the dice was removed from the bag, they could have done anything with the baggie and or card as they saw fit. Up to including throwing it out. Now, as per solicitation, some of you might say, well, in regards to the dealer room, we covered that. So therefore, outside the dealer room is solicitation. Did Otakon say anything in regards to when I brought up, was anything outside of the dealer room considered solicitation? The flyers, the business cards, everything else, isn't that considered solicitation outside the dealer room if they didn't have a dealer's table? If so, why weren't they notified? Because, again, the countless cosplayers giving out candy saying, hey, I'll be dressed as Princess Peach or this or Inuyasha. Come find me and I'll have a sign saying candy. Or the folk, like there was a person, like, I think he was there last year. I know he was, like, there and back in, like, 2019 or something. That he had an exclamation point above his head saying, I'm giving out random side quests. Return the side quest and get a candy. Isn't that solicitation? Did they tell him to stop Probably not. That's solicitation right there. They could have said, you're requiring folks to participate. No, he's not. No, they're not. Not to mention, I found business cards for other anime podcasts and folks and flyers and postcards for people buying and selling Yu-Gi-Oh cards and Pokemon cards. That leads me to suspect, put on my tinfoil hat and state the reason why I was singled out, the reason why I was snitched upon was because I'm not an anime podcast. I'm not an anime podcast, therefore, he's got to be taught a lesson. Not to mention, how many people will be wandering around? There was people in the group chat, Facebook group, saying, hey, I don't know if they're legitimacy or if they'll have a press pass or what. They were in chat saying, hey, I'll be roaming around. Look for me, and I'll be doing interviews with you. I represent these particular websites. And speaking of those other people with press, and it might have been a quote or a brief. I don't listen to those podcasts. I didn't get cards or statements from them. Now, some of you might remember, those who've been listening for quite a while, might remember we did an interview last year. It was a tag team interview. The reason why we did the tag team is because the person was not notified right away. She thought that she was not didn't have press pass. She didn't receive any email saying that she got a press pass. It was late to the game. It was less than a week when she said, I didn't hear anything whether I was approved or not. It was then that she was told by Otacon press relations saying, oh yeah, we don't know what happened, why you didn't get a confirmation email, and so forth and so on. So I let her team up with me to do the interview. And therefore, when I went to check to see anything about it, I didn't see, because she filmed the damn interview. I went through a lot of their episodes. Nothing was posted up. Nothing on the websites. Nothing. Nothing. I didn't see it. Didn't receive, like, I didn't even say, hey, I didn't get an email or anything saying, hey, Rev, the video of the interview concerning everything has been up. And hey, Rev, what are the links to your show so you can get proper credit with this? None of that was given. So again, that almost proves my point that I was treated like the bastard fucking child of a bastard fucking child when it came to shit. So therefore, why are these people doing work? They did interviews. Oh, we have it on record that they did fucking interviews. So therefore, they did work in regards to the show. Did they post anything up? Or was there, Otacon, I ask you if you're listening to this shit. Was there anything other than, oh, we went, we interviewed this person. We had a good time. He was a nice guy. He said this. And that's it. If you recorded a motherfucking interview, whether it be audio and or visual, post the shit. Post it. Post it up. Mini episode. But y'all didn't do that shit. But this year, it was PayPass. Let's not notify people until last minute. Yeah, I understand. A lot of people, I know last year, I talked about this, or I argued with people on Facebook, in the Facebook group, about this. It was, oh, you could drive. You mean spend God knows how much in gas, deal with traffic, then hopefully get there to see if the parking garages are full or not, or open yet. Spend $30, $40, $50 on a parking garage for an all-day pass somewhere in the city, and then hoof it, take a cab, or take a bus, or take the subway. Oh, speaking of subway, you can take the subway. You mean I got to drive 45 minutes out of my way for a parking lot to go in. Go in for another 45 minutes. And hopefully the subway line is running at like 6 o'clock in the fucking morning. No. But I was like, well, I have to take the MARC train. MARC train runs at this time and this time. And by the time, if I take the earlier time, I get there at 7. Well, excuse me. There's Amtrak. Yeah, Amtrak. Let's talk about Amtrak, shall we? Amtrak is not the most reliable means of transportation going somewhere. What do you mean? Like, let's take today, Friday, July 29th. The bus, I should say, the Amtrak train to DC is at roughly 11 a.m. 11 a.m. By the time I get there, get to DC, if it is on time, it is, it doesn't get there until, if on time, it'll get there by 1 p.m. the earliest. The earliest 1 p.m. By the time I get off the train, get to the convention center, I will have to turn around and go back to catch the Amtrak train home for one day. Why do I say that? Because the return trip is at 3, like, it's the return train from Amtrak train, I think, arrives back here where I'm at 5 p.m. So, that means they leave at maybe 2:30, 3 o'clock. So, as soon as I got to the convention center, at maybe 1:30, 2 o'clock, by the time I got in line and moved maybe 50 feet, I would have to get out of line, go back to the train station to catch the train home. So that's pointless. And let's talk about the hotel. Last year we stayed at the Marriott. Now, when we booked the hotel, they didn't tell us, yeah, there's a $50 a day deposit for that is sent to use on everything in the hotel. Meaning, oh, you want to stop something from the bar? That's $5 for the drink. Now, we're going to put this on your hotel tab. I want to pay for it now. I got the money for it now. I budgeted it now. Wait, what? I got to look like, you want to do what? Can we do that? It was like they had to go to the manager to see if somebody come in could pay now. Really? The fact that people could be coming in from the convention center to partake in your beverages at your bar, at your restaurant. They might not be staying at the hotel. So, and not to mention parking. That was the main thing. Oh, it's for parking. I took the train here, so what's parking mean to me? So, and they were like, what? Yeah, I took the train here. I took choo-choo, motherfucker. That's right, I took the train here. Parking does not mean anything to me. And come to find out, they're free Wi-Fi. How it's worth, oh yeah, you have a hotel, it's free. It's free because of the $50 per day deposit that you put in the hotel. That's where it's free. And that was not, on the confirmation email, never said anything about this deposit. It mentioned the taxes, and the total cost, not the total cost involving the deposit. Therefore, it was an extra $200 on my bill that I was not budgeted for. And the fine print and the email I got from them said, yeah, there's a deposit needed for four or more people staying in a particular hotel room. And I told them that. It's like, hey, they're like, well, it's for this, that. I said, dude, please. Here's the thing. Your email that you sent was for, in regards to four or more people. I'm the sole motherfucker in this room. What the hell? So they kind of waived it. Because I was not notified. So, that was a hassle. And when I picked up my ticket last year, and they asked me how things going. I said, I told them. It's like, oh, when I checked in at the hotel, I was informed of a deposit I didn't know I needed. And wasn't in the email confirmations when I booked through Otacon's hotel booking aspect. And they went, really? I said, yeah, I was notified. And everything in the user agreements and everything else, the fine print only said four more people. I'm the only person in the hotel room. So there was that aspect. So there was a lot of, even though there was some aspects and some good times, we got a whole mess of content. We got to meet, fun with one of the folks in our D&D group that we had, that showed up. Shout out to Rooney in regards to it, if you're listening. Her and her son had a blast last year. I think she spent money in regards to everything because it was her boy's birthday. And, you know, he wanted to have this blast of a time. You know, she wanted to give him, you know, go all out for her boy. And I can't blame her for that. So, it was that whole aspect, you know. I don't want to go to it. It's like, I was not treated like family. It didn't seem like it was respected. There was no respect amongst other people around each other. In regards to press or anything like that. And it was like, oh, you're press too? Really? I don't want to talk to you. You're not anime. You're not an anime podcaster. Or anything like that. You're not one. There was elitism regards to that end. A lot of our interviews, like, canceled. And canceled, not canceled like the day before, canceled like me showing up for the interview. It was like the interview was like in 10 minutes. Oh, yeah, they just canceled. I'm like, really? Canceled? And being told, yeah, this happens like every year. So you might put in for 4, 5, 10 interviews over the course of the 3 days, and each one of them canceled. And to me, that's a red flag. Therefore, if you don't have, if a convention is requiring you to do an interview, you do the interview, and they can, or you schedule and you show up for the interview, and they cancel, and then the convention, the event organizers say, hey, you didn't do an interview for us, so therefore we're not going to approve you next year. Well, the people that we scheduled for an interview canceled on us. Well, that's not a us problem. That's a you problem. Really. And that's one of the aspects of what I think Otakon might do in the past. One of our complaints as well that we had with Otakon in the past in regards to interviews is the aspect nothing was grouped. Like, you know, we weren't told. It's like, hey, you could put in an interview for this any of the celebrities. What if I could only make it one day? You know, granted, last year I was doing all 3 days, but that was my main question, my main issue. What if we were only there going one day? Who's available for that day? Who's available for that day and when? Nothing. This year, it seemed like the same aspects. Like, hey, you could put in an interview. All right, what if I'm going to be there one day? It wasn't until, like, 3 weeks later, again, it was like a week prior, maybe 2 weeks prior, they were like, oh, these are the scheduled interview dates that we have for these people. Really? Really, motherfucker? That should have been, as soon as the request is like, hey, you can put in the request, that should have been the thing you released, not 2 weeks later when the majority of people are putting in requests. And I'm stalling for time. No. That makes it look like you just sent the email to fucking me because that was my major fucking complaint. So, that's, you know, and when we did the press previews, it was, there was no enthusiasm. None. Again, press was treated like shit. Granted, for a lot of what we do, it's a YouTube. There's a media room for people who do media. Was I allowed to do that? No. Could I go into there? I'd be stopped at the fucking door. I have a camera that I could offload, do the video, upload it to YouTube right then and fucking there. No. You have to be registered. You have to be registered. You're only registered as press, not as a videographer. Let's not forget the other issue that I may have stated last year in our numbers episode, and that is the fact that last year it came out as stated by, I think it was stated by me, last year there was a high attendance or an increase from what I noticed in previous years. There was an increased number of people of color attending Otakon. I thought that was amazing. I thought that was a wonderful thing. More and more people are finding about Otakon. And a lot of folks, if those folks are people of color, wonderful, awesome, great, wonderful. It doesn't matter who you might be, a piece of person of color or someone who's a member of the LGBTQ community. If you want to show up, fine, awesome, that's great. But the issue last year with the people of color was that they were shown pretty much aspects of quite possibly racism. That's right, they were bringing up allegations of racism towards Otakon. That's right, they said, hey, this is what happened to me from staff. I'm a person of color. You know, I'm somebody of a darker skin tone. And this is what happened to me. I was treated like shit. This seemed a little off to me, a little racist to me. These were the allegations they reported in the group. And a lot of the comments were like, dude, sorry to hear that happen. Did you report this to Otakon themselves? They said, yes, whether they did so or not. Guess what? Me being a member of press, did I see a press release saying, hey, we received a lot of reports this past year of aspects of racism from our staff, or staff, comma, volunteer, or contract workers. So therefore, we do not condone any of those activities. So therefore, we're looking into those reports, those allegations, and we'll be handling it. Did I receive anything in regards to that? No. Did I see anything in regards to that? No. 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 I don't care if it was rumored. You guys have Otakon. I'm looking at you. I'm pointing a finger at you. If you have snitches in the Otakon group or the Otakon 21 Plus group, and there are people saying, hey, I had instances of possible racism, possible sexism in the convention center itself by members of fucking staff. You guys should have taken issue absolutely instantly. And I should have received an email last year when those reports were coming out saying, hey, we've been hearing these instances of possible instances and possible allegations of racism. I don't know how true these allegations were, or if they were received, or if they were taken lightly or not. Obviously, if they were not taken seriously because I didn't hear anything about them, or they were swept under the fucking rug, or either way, I did not hear anything saying, hey, many people reported on the Facebook group that this happened to them, and it seemed like they were targeted due to their race. We looked into it, and this is what actually happened. It turns out, let's say, it was a so-called, they were approached, the instance was, the person in question did not have a badge. They were approached in regards to not having a badge. They said it was either stolen or lost. So therefore, we checked their name in the system. We found out that they didn't purchase a badge, and somehow they managed to get in and passed all levels of checks to the convention center. I didn't hear stuff like that. Or the aspects like, yeah, the person in question that had the misplaced badge or the stolen badge claimed they were targeted due to racism and dismissed because of race. This is what actually happened. For someone like me to put that out on my show and say, hey, this is the response from Otakon. No, they never said that. Now let's do a sizable comparison, because I've been doing it as of late. Baltimore Comic Con, when we went in 2019, we were initially told no, but we were told, hey, we want you to do what you do. So we ask you and invite you to buy a ticket. So, and that was our thing, our reason for covering it. Because we saw between the lines saying, hey, they're inviting us, still inviting us to do what we do, just that we have to buy a ticket. And they were happy. They even said, we're happy to see your stuff there. You know what? That's honor. That is great. That is respect. And that way they were also telling us, next year, if or the next time you show up and you apply for press, guess what? You have that stuff on hand as proof of what you did last year. That was what we got. It was not disrespectful. And when we got there, we received so much love from the vendors, from everybody, from the artists that we knew, like Billy Tucci and everybody else that we met. With so much love, so much respect from everybody. Matter of fact, I'm sure if we pulled a couple of people aside for interviews, we would have gotten those interviews from people, from attendees, and everything else. And that was the thing that we got last year in 2021. And I'm sure we'd be getting this year. Rev, are you coming back? We want to see you back. We love what you did last year. That's respect. That's family. That's not what Otakon does. That we had a lot of fun things happen to us. We met Arithmetic, the people doing their thing. They were great. If they were there this year, I'm sure they would have been like, yeah, we can't wait to see you. But everybody else is like, yeah, well. That's what makes me want to go back to a show. Or choose not to. I got sick and tired of it. I'm willing to bet the anime podcasters, the other folks there, the other anime folks that showed up, it was would be a welcoming thing. Welcomed with open arms, consensual hugs, and everything. Me? Fuck him. Fuck him. Fuck the Long Coat Mafia podcast. Fuck the Reverend Godfather. But no. No. We got more respect. I'd rather go back. We have a lot of love for Baltimore Comic Con. We have a lot of respect for Baltimore Comic Con. We have a lot of respect for Four State Comic Con. Will we go back to Waynesboro and do their show? Considering the person who's now running the event, more than likely, because the person behind it has our respect. And we're sure that he gives us respect too. So, you know what? And even though we've been going on and rambling for almost an hour in detail, hopefully giving you all context in regards to why, the multiple of reasons of why we're not showing up today, or at this year's Otakon. That's the reason. That's the reason. We'd rather also, because we've been working with an independent filmmaker, because I don't want to rope him into this by giving names. We've been working with an independent filmmaker, doing vlogs with them, speaking with them, having fun with him and the crew that shows up at each and every filming event here in Martinsburg, West Virginia. We would rather do events with him and aspects with him and other people on a local area scale. Hell. We got, for the folks at home that don't know, we're friends with EPG Films. We're friends with George from EPG Films. He does his own YouTube channel. He does his own independent artwork. Everything's drawing a blank in regards to his organization. And George, if you're listening, I'm sorry. But even he says, like, listen, I'm at this event here in like, I think it was like Hershey. It's like, I'm at this event in like Hershey. And, the words I got from him was like, the serious lack of podcasters is disturbing. And I was like, maybe next year you could, you know, kidnap me for the event or something like that. And he's like, maybe I should. And the thing is, he's a nice guy. There's respect. There's family with him. And there's so much family I've made with those through Four State and through the independent community. And Otakon does not show respect. They only show respect that of their own. Only of those deeply diving into the anime aspect. Not the casual fans. It's like, if you're not watching Hero Academy or whatever the latest freaking anime is, and dive deep into all aspects. So you gotta be reading the fan fiction, the mangas, and watching the anime in every movie in order to, you know, be a part of their stuff, then you're an outcast. That's what also surprised me in regards to, I think it was like 2017 or 2018 it was, when Battle Angel Alita was coming out. You'd expect to see them trying to do deals with fucking those behind Battle Angel Alita to get as much hype over it. It's a fucking anime movie. But no. 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 There was so much opportunities out there. And it's... There's so much still... I want to say this. Those in the anime fandom have come such a long way. And there is such a long way to go. It's more open to the casual fan or the new fan, but the new fans and the casual fans are still treated like pieces of fucking shit on a shoe. And that should not be right. I don't care if someone's coming in and wants to do something on anime and they're an independent podcast that's been around for 2 fucking years. And you say, okay, don't treat them like a fucking shit. Let them come in. Let them do what they do. Make them feel fucking welcome. And there's been so many instances of miscommunication within Otakon. It's fucking disgusting. And a lot of times, they're placating to the fucking convention center. Well, we have policies. Yeah, we get that. But our fans, our attendees, expect a certain level of fun. You're hindering that fun. Well, fuck them. If the convention's has, well, fuck them. They're paying, you know, this, that, and other thing. If anybody's treating your attendees like fucking shit, dude, call them out like I am today. The convention, those who run the convention center and their practices and how they're forcing Otakon to do shit that they either may or may not want to do is fucking bullshit. The fact that there is a no solicitation policy. None. None. It's fucking bullshit. You know what? Again, to refresh y'all's memory. From what I was told in regards to that solicitation, I was let in regards to that, in regards to what the convention center. Oh, you couldn't even hand out flyers in the parking lot. Or across the street. Which means, if you were selling water, because it's summertime, the convention center will call the cops on you for selling water across the goddamn street to try to keep people hydrated. That's why a lot of folks like fucking Baltimore or loved Baltimore when it came to Otakon and loved Otakon and loved when it was in, especially when it was in Baltimore, because Baltimore convention center didn't give a fucking shit. There were people like, hey, it's fucking summer. You're probably fucking thirsty. You need water. I have water. Give me $1. You get fucking water. Give me $2. You get fucking water. That's awesome. Not to mention, when we went to Otakon Baltimore a couple times, there was fucking food trucks. Food trucks. Food trucks. Granted, DC, there's no room for food trucks. But Baltimore had more room for food trucks. And those food trucks lined like a motherfucker. Hey, you get hungry. You don't want to eat at the fucking convention center because of they're charging $30 for a fucking hot dog and a drink? Nah, come to us. We charge $5 for a hot dog and a drink. Combo meal. Nah, because the convention center has certain contracts. Unless you're paying the convention center or Otakon shit ton, like five, six figures in promotional funds, you ain't doing shit. And because the level of podcast, we're not Joe Rogan. We're not that level. Hell, there are podcasters who've been around longer than us that have 4,000, 8,000, 10,000 followers on YouTube, Podbean. They get 2,000, 3,000 downloads a fucking week. We've been doing this for 7 fucking years. We barely crack 20 when we fucking upload. If we are lucky. If we are lucky. And we've been doing this, again, for 7 years. And because we are so goddamn fucking small and treated, oh, his show's name is Long Coat Fucking Mafia Podcast, therefore he's an evil fuck and he's got to be shunned. No. Because you don't want to know us, because you don't want to handle us at our best and let us do what we need to do the best way we know how and what we can do, you tell us that we, in essence, we can go fuck ourselves. And we're treated, again, like shit on a shoe. So, that being said, I'm going to end this episode. I hope you all are having a good weekend and everything else. For those who are actually enjoying Otakon as of this recording, if you're listening to this at any point during the weekend, I hope you're having a wonderful time. I hope everything worked out great for you, that the exclusives that were there, that you got in okay, there was no hassle, no complaints, and you had a wonderful time. And that you happened to have a party atmosphere if you stayed all 3 days. And everything went well. And that you didn't spend too much money at these events. I'm the Reverend Godfather. As much as I could say, you could find us on all the platforms linked in the show's description. You could find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. And on YouTube by searching Long Coat Mafia Podcast. All the links, again, are in the description down below. You can always email us your comments and your experiences from Otakon at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. Or, head on over to our Facebook page and leave a comment about your Otakon experiences on the pinned comment below. Let me rephrase that because it's been an hour. You can leave any story about good, bad, other about Otakon in the show, in the comment section of the pinned post on our Facebook page, which again is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. We're happy to hear you. If we got a bunch of stories, we'll post them up again in the episode. Hell, if we get the numbers, we'll bitch about the numbers. And if there's a lot of, again, weird stories stemming from Otakon and nothing being said in the comment section, we'll let you all know. We'll be the ones, because we are small, to call out fucking Otakon. Because apparently, even though we were accepted, good chance next year we won't be approved next year. Why? Because this year was our year to be canceled and not be asked back. So we're going to see if that actually happens last year. So I say it happens next year. Maybe next year we'll be able to be all 3 days. If we're approved. Yeah, fucking right. So, Otakon, do better. We'll see you. And everybody else, we'll see you next time. I'm the Reverend Godfather, and I am out of here.
You've been listening to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, the internet's most hated and mafia-themed geek podcast. You've been listening to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, the internet's most hated and mafia-themed geek podcast.